And welcome to another edition of the Jersnet podcast, the independent Rangers podcast by fans for fans, where all the content is absolutely free. Tonight, as always, we are coming to you in association with Forest Precision Engineering. Now, I'll be your host this evening, and we're going to be looking back at Friday's convincing win over Annan, as well as all the latest Rangers news. But before we get into that, I'd want to encourage you to visit the Jersnet website. Not only do we have our main website with a host of quality articles and online museum, but it also hosts our popular forums, which are a great place to keep up to date with the latest Rangers news and discussion. Tonight, as always, we are live on YouTube, and we'd ask that you continue to spread the word amongst your friends and family, share the pod on social media, subscribe to the channel, as well as stop by the forums and join in the chat there too. Now, I need to give another mention to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They're a Glasgow-based engineering company who have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers and Jersnet for a number of years, and we're delighted to have them supporting the pod. If you want more information about them, please visit their website at www.forestprecisioneng.com. They've also got a stunning executive lounge in the Ibrox main stand, and for more information on that, you can email the club at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Now, joining me this evening to unpick everything that's happening from a Rangers point of view are a couple of OGs of the Jersnet stable. Colin, how are you doing, pal?
Yeah, very well, Rob. Thanks. Always happy to be here.
Absolutely. Especially after a win as well. It makes a difference. And then Ross Bennett. Ross, how are you, pal? You okay?
I'm very well. Very well, thank you. Yeah, no, it feels like it's been a good weekend. It feels like it's been an absolute age since Rangers actually played. I'm not sure I'm ever comfortable with a Friday night game, but a good weekend in the end.
Aye, absolutely. Rangers didn't win it, which was good. This time last year might have been a different story, but hey ho. We won't dwell on that too much. But we'll kick right off and start with just a wee recap of the Annan game. You know, again, I think probably something that over the years we've taken a wee bit for granted, that these are the types of games that we should be winning and winning convincingly. But starting lineup, you know, Danny made 9 changes. I think around me it was probably more about the people that were included rather than the people that were excluded was the topic of conversation. And we started with Kelly and goals, Aaron's Jigga, and Ciala and Magoma, a midfield of Rothwell and Dibble, with Curtis, Danilo, Gassama and Miovski making up the front four. I think, Colin, the big ones around me that everybody found interesting that was both Dowell and Rothwell coming back into the team after not getting much game time at all. And obviously we found out after the game probably why Lyle Cameron wasn't including the starting 11 up, but I thought he would have been a stick on had that transfer not have been completed.
Yeah, I mean, those were the two that sort of stood out. You know, I mean, I always felt comfortable, you know, and confident that Rangers would win on Friday night. But, I mean, you only have to look to August when we took on Alloa in the League Cup, you know, and I think that Dowell and Rothwell started on that day as well. And that was a very different story, obviously. You know, I mean, it wasn't until not the sort of closing stages of the game that we sort of put it to bed. So, given the amount of changes in a team and given the inclusion of some names that you maybe thought were done as far as playing for Rangers were concerned, I was pleasantly surprised at how routine the victory was. You know what I mean? I thought they started well, actually. I thought Annan probably started the better team and, you know, they were moving the ball about well. But, you know, the minute we got the first goal, it just felt from then on in that, you know, there wasn't going to be any sort of doubt in the outcome. So, yeah, I mean, obviously we're favourites in these kind of games. You expect a routine victory. But given the starting 11, I mean, I was a wee bit surprised at just how routine it was. And it's testament to Danny Rowe, I think. You know, I genuinely think with every passing week, I become more and more impressed with the guy. You know, I think if Russell Martin puts out that team, you know, a few months ago, then I don't think it's as comfortable a night. So it's only Annan, and you obviously have to bear that in mind. But I think the manner of the victory was pleasing. And as a health check, you know, when you look at, you know, Hearts and Celtic, how they fared in the Scottish Cup this week, obviously Hearts. I mean, Hearts had a trickier tie at home against Falkirk, but it was still a game you would have probably expected them to win. they've took a bloody nose, they're out of the tournament. Celtic huffing and puffing against Posties and Brickies, you know, took them to the 86th minute to put that game to bed. So, and it just again, the direction of traffic and everything, the momentum just seems to be sitting with us at the moment. And although it was a routine victory in a game you're expected to win, you know, there was still a lot of positives to come out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, Ross, the other thing, it was probably a tale of two strikers as well. When we saw this starting lineup and seeing how they would fare with Danilo and Miowski, who had a bit of a chance, because ultimately it looks like Chirmiti has nailed on that starting position at the moment based on his presence and the fact that he can hold the ball up better than some of the strikers that we've got just now. But was there any other surprises for you in that front line? Obviously, Curtis and Gassama were there. Anybody else you'd have liked to have seen come into the team, or was it kind of pretty much, you know, kind of the options that we had for the start?
No, I think it was kind of where we were. You know, I think it probably fell a little bit early for Oliver Antman to get a start. There's no need to kind of risk him again. These kinds of games, it's very, very rare that you're coming through this really, really happy. You're either comfortable and satisfied, or you're pissed off. And actually, you know, the Friday night was as close as I'm going to get in a game like this. Been really, really pleased. So the risk with these games is that, you know, semi-pro players, they start to tire after an hour. The tackles get a bit later. It gets a bit nastier and you pick up an injury. So I guess you don't really need to risk players in that situation. I was pleased to see him actually play Danilo and Majowski together. Because again, you knew it was a game where they were going to get space and they were going to get the ball, and you might as well stick them both out there to try and get a bit of their confidence up. I think it's probably worked for one, maybe not so much for the other. But, you know, you could argue, we played with a front four of Curtis, Danilo, Gassama, Majowski. You know, it's not so long ago that was our first choice front four, our first choice attack. So it was actually quite strong in that sense going forward. Also, you know, Joe Rothwell, we brought him in the summer expecting him to be a key player for us. It struck me that three out of our four defenders are on loan from Premier League clubs, you know, and that probably again shows that those players haven't, the fact that they're starting against Annan in the Cup shows that they haven't performed the way that we would have expected them to have done so. With the exception of Magoma, who, you know, obviously has played a lot and has generally done okay. So actually, you know, I was pretty pleased with the team he put out. I think everyone performed okay enough, and I'm just happy to come through it. Majowski, I thought, out of everyone, he probably had the best night, not just obviously in terms of the goal return, but in terms of showing what he can do. You know, the first goal, it was quite instinctive. It was quite good footwork. The second goal was proper kind of predatory striker, knowing where to be, getting across to that back post, lovely ball in across from Finlay Curtis. So all in all, you know, looking at our team there, I've got the lineup there, as I say, three on loan from Premier League clubs, Joe Rothwell that came up from Leeds in the summer, from Southampton, I should say. Majowski, who'd been brought in from La Liga, JD Gassama, who obviously has some real pedigree. It's a team that should be steamrolling and an Athletic, and out with that first 10 minutes, they really did.
Yeah, and it was interesting you'd mentioned both that first 10 minutes, because one of the things that made me laugh was even before the game started, I think Jigga suffered with trying to work out what side of the pitch he was meant to line up on, which was hilarious. You know, the fact that we play in blue is a bit of a sign, and he maybe should have ran onto that side of the pitch. But and I guess it was the fear that I had with him coming back into the starting lineup was, is there going to be some form of brain fart in there, Colin, from that point of view. But after that first 10-minute spell, any nerves were pretty put to bed pretty soon, you know, with Miowski getting that goal. And actually, from memory, it was a pretty decent wee bit of play. You know, I think ultimately him and Miowski and Danilo, I'll say Danilo set him up, to be kind. But it was a nice little cut back in, left foot finish. And keeper could have done maybe a little bit better, but 12 minutes in, goal up. It was at least settled the nerves in the stadium, I think, after that start.
Yeah, I mean, any finish that goes into the middle of the goal, you know, if it hits the middle of the net, I think you're looking at the keeper. There's bodies in front of him, and Miowski's movement's pretty good. But I'm chuffed for Miowski, because, I mean, I really did think we'd sign someone who was going to, you know, provide us with a lot of goals. You know, we'd seen what he'd done at Aberdeen. You know, you're assuming with more service, which he's going to get at Rangers. He would be hitting the net regularly, but that's not really been the case. And he's looked a bit clumsy at times, I think. He looks like a player that's really lacking confidence at times. So a game like this, where he's got his hat-trick, you know what I mean? And I think it's his first ever senior hat-trick. I don't think he's scored a hat-trick at first-team level before. So, again, you have to add the context of the opposition and all that kind of thing, but it's still a big night for him. It's the type of game where Danny Rowell is saying to players who aren't getting a lot of minutes, well, here's your chance. Show me what you can do. And I would say he's answered the call there. You know, he's shown that he can score. Obviously, he had a tricky time in Spain. Didn't go as well as planned. I'm not entirely sure he had a proper pre-season and all that kind of stuff. So I'm still hopeful for him. You know, I think he's facing an uphill battle at the moment because, you know, the big striker I'm having a brain fart myself here. What's his name?
Chirmiti.
He's,
Oh, the Portuguese Peter Crouch, as I like to call him.
Yeah, the Portuguese Prince. He's formed, I would say he's formed since Easter Road. You know, the victory at Easter Road has just progressively got better and better and better. I thought he performed really well that night at Easter Road. And he's just got better and better and better. And he's starting to add goals. Mm-hmm. You know, and he gets us up the park, and I think that's the main thing that Danny Rowell's looking at now. You know, get us up the park, win free kicks. You know, get the set piece coach in there and working his magic. So the way we're playing at the moment, it looks like Chirmiti's going to be the main man for the bigger games. You know, all Miosky can do is do what he done on Friday when he gets the opportunity. Is show that he can score goals. So I was chuffed for him. You know, because he's had a difficult start to his Rangers career. I'm still hopeful that he'll score goals. It was nice to see him get a hat-trick.
Yeah. I guess, Ross, it does come down to us being able to create chances. I think that's the one thing when Danny Rowell's come in, the first thing he had to do was sort of the defence. And that was the key critical thing. We needed to start being a bit more solid at the back and be a bit tighter. Now, given some of the signings that we'll talk about in a wee bit, it's now looking at what we can start to deliver moving forward and how can we get a bit more creative in that final third. And I think he obviously gets his second goal. And I thought Wee Finlay actually had a decent game. You know, he it was a great ball over to the back post where you expect a striker to be for that goal. I think there's then another chance where Nsiala picks him out. And his little dink shot hits the bar. It looks like he's probably going to end up going out on loan to Killy or somewhere like that based on the signings. But from a Finlay Cup's point of view, he didn't do himself any harm last night, even though we know kind of out wide isn't his best position.
Yeah, he was a standout for me at Miosky aside. I think he was full of energy, full of running. It was a confidence booster game for him as well, you know, as a winger. That's a young, hungry winger. That's probably the kind of game he was desperate to play in. I've been really critical with Finlay Curtis, actually, because I don't think he's really demonstrated consistently that he's at the required standards to play for Rangers week in, week out. For me, a lot of that goes back to, I was in Athens when we were at Panathinaikos earlier in the season, and he had a horror that night. I mean, he was totally out of place. And I was probably overly critical of the guy. You know, he's a young lad. It was a very uncomfortable environment, the temperature, if nothing else. And he's still learning the game, I guess. But I feel sending him on loan is the right thing to do. I feel that he's not quite at the level to contribute regularly for Rangers. That being said, you know, his attitude seems excellent. He played really, really well on Friday. As you say, he could well have had to. If that ball that had hit the bar, if that had gone in, it would have been a really lovely, instinctive, natural finish to loop that over the keeper on the stretch like that. His ball across for Miosky was excellent. Really smart, really well weighted. A loan move to someone like Kilmarnock is probably a good thing. We've brought in Scott Olsen, who you think is a better player at this point in time. So this is probably the right thing for Curtis, is to go out and play competitively week after week at the level, right? At the same level that is required. And I think going somewhere like Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock, I think, are in all sorts of bother right now, by the way. I don't think they've got a good squad. You know, they've got, they're kind of, you look at some of their performances under Kettlewell, obviously Neil McCann's come in now. Kilmarnock, I think, are in a really dangerous position. And it does remind me of sort of 3 or 4 years ago where they kind of sleepwalked into relegation. He'll learn a huge amount if he does go there, you know, from that experience. And I don't think that'll be a bad thing for him.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting as well, because speaking to, so I'm mates with a guy that used to coach him when he was at Palace Park, and he was always played through the middle, even at that age. I think at the academy, when he got the, 40, 50 goals, that he was playing through the middle. So I think that's definitely his best position. But the problem he's got, I think, in this team at the moment is there's probably a few more names ahead of him. So he's not going to get the game time there, which means he's being kind of shoehorned out wide. And I think from a finishing standpoint, we've seen it where he has taken, you know, some decent finishes when he has had the opportunity. But getting out and getting a wee bit of game time more regularly in that position will do his development no harm. It will, you know, it's the same with Lyle Cameron. He's obviously up at Aberdeen now, which is a real shame, because I wish it was a different club. He's going to get a torrid time off those fans, unfortunately. And to see him then come back next year to be ready to contribute. I guess, Colin, if we're not going to play in them, this is where we've kind of got to use the loan system to our advantage a wee bit and get them into clubs. To be able to help develop them rather than sitting on our bench with no much game time at all.
Yeah, I mean, the age that I mean, I feel for Cameron, I really do. I think he showed enough in his time at Rangers to have warranted more game time than he's been receiving. And I noticed he got man in the match today, and he played really well by all accounts. I didn't watch the game, but I sort of switched over after it. And they were interviewing him and Devlin, what's his name? The right back at Aberdeen. Oh, what's his name? Is it Devlin? Anyway.
They've got a Devlin, right?
So, the height difference. I mean, I really didn't appreciate how small Cameron was. See when he came on screen. And I just wondered, is that maybe something that's going against him? When you look at, you know, at least one of the signings that's came through the door at the moment, you know, big lumpy lad, you know, it's, I just wonder if Danny Rowe has looked at us and thought we just weren't physical enough. We just didn't have enough height in there for set pieces and all that kind of thing. And it's maybe that that's undone him. And I mean, there's every chance he'll come back, but I am starting to wonder if this is just the beginning of the end for Cameron at Rangers, because I just don't know where he's going to fit in at the moment. With Curtis, he's got a bit more time. You know, he's got more time. I think he's a wee bit further behind. You know, I agree with Ross. I think he's come into some games and looked off it. You know, he's just not contributed enough. There was a sort of clamour to get him in the team at one point, and then when Danny Rowe brought him in, I just thought, you're seeing why Danny Rowe's not been putting him in on a regular basis. So that, as you say, Rob, that's why the loan system's there. You know, these guys have got to get minutes. You know, they develop as a player, they become more experienced, they get exposed to different experiences, as Ross pointed out. You know, Rangers are expected to win every game. You know, if Curtis goes to Kilmarnock, that's a whole new side of the business he's learning there. You know, a run of a win, defeat and a draw would probably be seen as acceptable, you know, as at Kilmarnock, and they're fighting for their lives at the moment. So they're not only getting minutes and developing their sort of basic skills, they're also learning about the other side of the business, you know, the other part of the game and the different pressure that comes with that. So yeah, if they're not going to get game time here, that's the way to get them, you know, developed and all that kind of stuff. But I feel for Cameron. I thought he deserved a lot more game time than he got, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be that way at the moment.
It was one of the points I was going to make when we talked about the transfers, because it's the profile. If you look at all of them, they're all over 6 foot, and I think that's the biggest thing. You know, when you think that maybe Raskin and Barron aren't the biggest either, that it's the one thing that we've really been lacking across the team is that physicality and that height. So that's the only thing.
If you're bringing in a set piece coach as well, who's working on, and you know, he's been doing well of late. You know, we've been scoring from set pieces. If you're going to have people like that, although Raskin is pretty good in the air, if you're going to have people like Raskin and Cameron in there, it makes it harder for him to do what he wants to do in terms of set pieces and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, see when he came on the screen, I actually gasped. I was like, my God, he's way smaller than I thought, you know. So, and that's when I thought, you know, something, maybe he's just not the type of player.
Yeah.
Doesn't fit the profile, as you say, Rob, that Danny Rowe's looking for.
And that's a lovely segue, Colin, into the next point, which I really do appreciate. It's the start of the second half, Ross, and we get a third, actually, just to kill the game off. But it is another set piece. You know, Gassama and Rothwell taking the short corner, Rothwell clipping it over into Dibble, who loops a header over the keeper. But I think it's worth highlighting just the impact that Scott Fry's made since he joined the club. You know, I was looking at some of the stats, and I think we're now third in the table with goals coming from set plays. But actually, since he joined, nobody has scored more. We've got 7, Dundee United have 6, and Hearts have got 5 from set plays. And this is going to be actually critical, I think, in the second half of the year, that if we can continue to be a threat from set plays while not conceding, like we looked earlier on the season, where every free kicker corner against us was going to end up in a goal, then it massively, massively helps us out, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it does. And it's high time we actually started taking advantage of corners and free kicks, because I think in my entire lifetime, I can't remember us properly taking advantage of the dead ball situation.
There's a man that never lived through Davy Cooper's career, let me tell you.
That's true. That is that is true. But the other thing I'll say is that I think, Rob, you just referred to it. We stopped conceding from stupid cross balls into the box. And actually, you know, after everything we went through with Thelwell and Patrick Stewart, I have become totally cynical and snobby over the EFL. And that did extend to Mr. Fry. Honestly, we're getting this guy from Lincoln City. I go, this is absolutely unacceptable. You know, I want my set piece coach coming from Brondby or something like that. Totally wrong. Absolutely wrong. The guy's come in. He's done a really, really solid job. And we look a threat. We look a real threat. So I think it will inevitably, if this carries on, by the time we get to late February, early March, you'll see daily record headlines about how our style of football is unattractive. It's turning punters off. Fans aren't going to accept this. The fans are unhappy with the style of football because all we're doing is we're just dead ball merchants. I don't care. I simply do not care. Long may it continue. And you know, it's given me an appreciation for the likes of Manny Fernandez, who, again, 10 weeks ago, I hated the guy. Absolutely couldn't stand him. I thought I'd never want to see him again in a Rangers shirt. Scott Fry has, if he's done one thing, he's made me appreciate Manny Fernandez. That's good.
It's amazing, actually, when you think of the weapon that we've got there and how we could utilise that. And I agree, Ross, I think you're right, because if we continue winning games, then people will just start to bemoan, oh, well, all they do is take free kicks and corners and score from them. It's like, yeah, whatever, don't care. Just keep racking them up. And hopefully that's the case. We did change up the team a wee bit. I won't make the obvious dad joke about Zebedee Lawson having a spring in his step when he came onto the pitch to make his debut at Ibrox. Lawson, Asgard, Chukwuanyi, and Matondo came on. We'll obviously talk about Chukwuanyi in a wee minute, but it was really interesting that was Zebedee Lawson's first minutes, I think, in front of the Ibrox crowd. And I know post-match that Danny Rule was a bit frustrated, I think, with some of the rules that we have in Scotland, which didn't allow him to play the likes of Kyle Glasgow and maybe one other. I guess it's a good sign, actually, Colin, because it's the first time in a wee while that we've had representation on the pitch from the academy, and you know, hopefully it gives them a wee bit of a spur to kick on and show that actually there is a pathway to the first team.
Yeah, I mean, the other joke on the Zebedee Lawson name thing is I received a message in one of the WhatsApp chats I'm in saying has to be the best named Rangers player of all time. And I said, well, I disagree. That surely still sits with Billy King, but that's another story. I mean, if you're a young boy in that academy and you're seeing somebody like Lawson getting an opportunity, then that surely spurs you on. You know, that's what these boys are all dreaming of. They're all dreaming of an opportunity to get, you know, on that first team part, playing for Rangers. And I think sometimes, probably most of the time, it might seem like an impossible dream. You know what I mean? That it's just something that's not going to happen. So when you see a manager who's relatively new in the door, you know, taking a really early opportunity to use someone from the academy, then other guys that are in that position must be looking at it and think, well, there's a pathway to the first team if this guy's in charge. So yeah, it's always a possibility. I mean, obviously, I mean, how realistic it is that he's going to get a huge amount of game time over the next few months is probably unlikely. You know, as we've just discussed, you know, the likes of Curtis and all that, I've had to go out and loan to get game time. But it's just that wee bit of, you know, there's an opportunity for you. Have you got a taster for it? Oh, you can come in and train with the first team now. You can do this, you can do that, and just gradually build these boys up. So yeah, I've been just nothing but impressed with Danny Rule since he came in. I mean, the recruitment process to get him was a bit shambolic, and it genuinely feels like we've stumbled on him. But as every week passes with him, I think we've stumbled on an absolute gem. I saw a video through the week there. Is it Barry Bannon who was with him at Sheffield Wednesday, and he told a good story. I mean, I know he's not our favourite person, right? But he told a good story that. You know, when Roll arrived at Sheffield Wednesday, assessed the squad and realised, well, I can't play the type of football that I want to play with this group of players. So they went long, high press, all that kind of thing, and instantly results picked up. Mm-hmm. And that feels like the total opposite of what Russell Martin was. You know, Russell Martin was hell-bent on playing his system no matter what players he had. I was looking at the team that we started with against Alloa today as part of me looking into this show tonight, and he had Cortez at left-back. You know what I mean? It's just you know, you just stuff like that. You just think he was the type of manager that, you know, if he's 4-0 down, he's sticking with the same system. If he's 5-0 down, he's sticking with the same system. You know, they're just hell bent and stubborn. Whereas Danny Rowe seems to be the total opposite of that. He's obviously come in, and I wonder if that's what's prompted him to get the, you know, the set piece specialist in, because he's looked at the team that he's got and thought, right, I don't have a huge amount of goals in here, so I'm going to have to create opportunities to get goals. I think he's obviously looked at that defence and thought he could stiffen it up a wee bit, and he's done that. You know, we now have the best defence in the country. It seems to me that the signings that he's doing now are all about solidifying that, putting down another foundation, and also adding goals at the other end of the park. So you can almost see what he's trying to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Very quickly, he's turned us into a team that was shambolic, to one that is, in my opinion, I think Rangers have to be considered as favourites for this title. I really do. When you look at the last 10, 12, 13 games since he's been in charge, the results speak for themselves. If we continue that over the next 10, 12, 15 games, we are in with a real shout. So, as I say, every week, every game, I'm nothing but impressed with the guy.
Disappointed. There's probably some doubters about how he got the job in the first place, and the fact he was first, second, third, fifth, whatever choice he might have been. But I've been really impressed with him since he's come in, you know, not just because the results have gone well, but because he has used different formations at different points in the season, depending on the game that we've gone into. Anytime you listen to him, his focus always seems to be just about the next game. We're not getting too carried away here by looking too far ahead in the season or whatever it may be. It is just a, here's the next game. And his response to getting the 3 points in Petone was brilliant. You know, it was three points and down the road. And that's all that matters, Ross. So I guess, you know, have you been equally as impressed by him, like myself and Colin have? Or have you got an alternative opinion that you want to throw out there and put a wee grenade in?
No, I think he's been fantastic. I know for the show it would be great if I disagreed with a pair of years and we can all have a big debate, but I think he's been phenomenal. I think he's been class. No, in the league, there's two disappointing results. We had the draw, 0-0 draw against Falkirk, and then was it 2-2 a few days later against Dundee United. He responded to those really, really well, and he's gone on an incredible run since then. He's identified weaknesses both in the system, but also in the playing squad, the personnel. I think he's, you know, if you'd asked fans what position you'd like to see the team strengthened, there's always maybe a wee bit of debate. Oh, we might need another striker, or we might need another centre half. But you know, a left back, a decent midfielder, and a wide option, they're going to be right up there. He's seeing the same things as us. I feel that you know, it wouldn't have been difficult for anyone to come in and be more liked than Russell Martin. But the guy does seem to have shown respect to the club, respect to the players, respect to the fans, to the institution. And the best compliment I can give the guy is that he deserves to be backed now. I think he has been backed in this window. He's been backed early. He's earned it. He's absolutely earned the right to walk into the chairman's office and say, we're going for a title now. Actually, we're going for a double. We are on for a double because the results yesterday and today have been favourable to us, you know, knocking out Hearts, knocking out Hibs. We're on for a double here. And he's earned that backing from the board. I am really, really pleased with what we've seen. As was mentioned a moment ago, we did hear players kind of coming out and saying, this is the guy, this is the best guy I've ever worked for. And it does worry me that I feel one of our biggest issues over the last 5 or 6 years is that our players have let managers down, or our players have undermined managers. I'd probably go as far as to say that. I think that Gio was undermined by the players. I think they stopped playing for him. I think you could argue the same for Philippe Clement. I don't think they ever really started playing for Russell Martin, but I think having a manager that comes in and understands the players and has their respect and keeps their respect is going to be really, really important for us. And so far I am so impressed by the job he's done. And I say that as one of those guys who was incredibly negative about the appointment and didn't know enough about the guy, but felt, oh, this is Thelwell dipping back into the English Championship because he thinks that it's better than the Scottish Prem. And I was really, really disappointed when we missed out on Gerrard. I wasn't too fussed by Muscat. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel right going to get the guy who's recently left Sheffield Wednesday. It didn't feel right. Again, much like me slagging off the guy from Lincoln City, I am totally wrong.
And at least we're not afraid to admit that when that happened, Ross. I guess it's a nice little segue as well, because it allows us to finish off the Aaron game but also talk about some of the improvement we've seen in the players. You know, I think Manny Fernandez is beginning, I know he didn't play against Aaron, but he's beginning to look like an actually decent centre-half, as long as he doesn't have Sugar next to him and that he's got a competent centre-half next to him. I think Suter and him seem to be pairing up quite well. But the other one that's had a really good run of form recently is Theo Asgard, as we'll see and talk about with the phenomenal free kick that he hit from, what, best part of 35 yards out, Colin? Now, I don't think many keepers are going to be getting to that, never mind the Annan keeper, but it was some strike, wasn't it?
Well, nobody's saving that. No one. I mean, he couldn't get it. The only reason the goal will be played down is because of the opposition. And that's the only thing that's kind of going against that goal. But I mean, one thing I'll say about it, he looked confident when he was stood over it. You know, he looked really, really confident. And it's a fantastic strike. And that's what it's four goals in his last five starts. And he's a player, I mean, I've kind of had a few debates with people over the last few months about him. I've always felt there was a player there. I think a lot of these young guys that came in when things were really negative under Russell Martin just went into their shell. You know what I mean? They just started to play within themselves. I don't think they wanted to be brave on the ball and take risks, because just the way Ibrox was at the time, you know, it was pretty toxic. And I think he was one of those, you know, that was sort of playing within himself, sideways, backways, all that kind of stuff. But slowly, over the last few weeks, you're starting to see that he's a bit more confident. I think the only game recently where he's slipped into his old habits was the Celtic game at Celtic Park. Mm-hmm. And I just think that was down to the booking. I actually thought he started that game pretty well. I thought in the first 10-15 minutes he looked bright and was doing some good stuff down that sort of that right channel. And then he gets the booking and it's his fault, really. You know, he miscontrols the ball. I think he lets McGregor in, pulls him back, booking. Obviously, I think the red card from the semi-finals in the back of his mind. And for that point, he starts standing off and just not getting involved in the game. So that was a poor day for him. But overall, his improvement over the last few weeks has been really, really impressive. And with improvement comes confidence, and with confidence comes further improvement and all that kind of thing. And that's the one thing I would say about this Rangers team. I mean, it's not just Asgard. I mean, I've felt it for a number of weeks now, the sense of belief. I really got a sense of that at Pittodrie. You know what I mean? It really felt, I mean, every time we go up there, it's a bit tetchy. I mean, I don't think we've won up there for a number of occasions now, maybe a couple of years or whatever. But, you know, okay, maybe 7 or 8 times out of 10 we go up there and we get the points. But it's always nervy, it's always tense. No, that was just commanding a performance over them up the road there that we've had a number of years. And you could just sense that there was a real sense of belief in this group. Obviously, we've added to that now. So I mean, we're coming up for a key month. You know, February we've got, you know, if we beat Dundee next week, we're going to February, I think we've got Motherwell away, Hibs away, and Hearts at home. I think Hearts are also playing Celtic, and Hearts are playing Hibs and all that kind of thing. So there's going to be movement in the next few weeks, and if Rangers get through that, then the chances are they're going to be top of the league. You know, if you get through those games, and then we've got Celtic in the 1st of March, there's every chance we'll be top of the league at that point, just as we're getting into the sort of closing stages. So it's an important sort of stage of the season. I think Danny Rose recognised that. That's why we've done our business early. Get them in, get them bedded in. So yeah, I'm excited, Rob. I'm genuinely excited.
Good. I am as well, mate, to be honest. I think it is going to be really, really interesting. And I guess just the bottom off the Scottish Cup draw has been made. So it's another home game, which is nice, against Stranraer Queen's Park. I don't have the feeling that we're going to have a repeat of any of the clusterfuck results that we had last year with Danny and the team in charge. But again, it's another game where I guess we could potentially use for rotation, and hopefully we can come away with a comfortable result. And that brings us into, I guess, the big news before the game, and the parading of the three new signings: Tuur Romans, Tochi Chukwuanyi, and Scott Olsen. Now we got a wee glimpse of, I'm going to call him Chucky, just because I can't be bothered calling him Chukwuanyi all the time. So Chucky, on Friday. But
you're in doggy territory with that world there, you know.
Well, maybe we'll see.
I'm just putting it out there, Rob.
Just wait. Okay, so we got a bit of a glimpse of Chukwuanyi on Friday there. But what's been your impressions, Ross, I guess, of the window so far? I'll let you two go give your opinion, and I'll wear my mind.
I'm impressed by the speed of it. I'm impressed by the profile of player that he's bringing in. I am so pleased that it's not, you know, someone's coming up the road from Derby or Northampton or something like that. You know, it's the markets that we've always been saying we should be looking in these markets. So I'm really, really pleased with that. I'm impressed by the physical profile of the players. You know, they are physically imposing gentlemen. I think that'll be important for us. I'm really impressed that we've got Scott Olsen. This is a name that's kind of, it feels like it's actually floated around Rangers for a couple of years now. And I thought that ship had sailed. I think he has all of the attributes. You know, a lot of the time on platforms such as this, people like myself will pretend we've heard of these players, right? We'll call it what it is. And a lot of time we'll go, oh no, actually I've watched a lot of Westerloo, and I've always said that Tuur Romans is going to be phenomenal for us. Now, that would be a lie, but I do know who Andreas Scott Olsen is, right? And I have seen him play football because he's been linked with us a number of times, and he's a good player playing in a good team in a good league. He's got an exceptional CV behind him. For a club like us, I thought we'd miss the boat on him. The other thing that I'm really impressed by is that we've got this option to make it permanent for 10 million. We wouldn't have negotiated that if we didn't have serious consideration to spending it. And I think it shows real appetite. And I'm really, really pleased. I think it's clear Danny Rule wants at least one more. I think, you know, for me, there's two places. There's centre forward and there's centre back that I think both need strengthening. I suspect for both of them, it's probably a case of you'll need to, well, certainly for centre forward, I think we'd need to see the back of Danilo before we bring in another striker. Centre back, I'm not so sure. You know, I don't know what we're doing with the contract situation with John Souter. Manny Fernandez is coming onto a game. We should get Derek Cornelius coming back sometime soon. I could see us closing the business there. I don't think that's what Rule wants to do. I think it's quite clear he wants more. In a way, it's almost frustrating. We've got three of them in the first half of the window because now we've got 2 weeks of where we could actually sort of get frustrated if we don't have any more movement. But we're undoubtedly in a stronger position today than we were 5 days ago. And I'm really, really pleased with that.
Colin?
Yeah, I mean, getting the business done early, I think that gives you an indication that Roel has done a real job in assessing a squad and identifying where he thinks his strengths are and where he thinks he needs to strengthen. I think this is me just being uber positive again, but I think this is another area where we've kind of got the upper hand in Celtic at the moment, because we have a permanent manager in place recruiting for the future. I mean, this doesn't just feel like business that's been done for this season. It feels like the start of the recruitment for next season, if you know what I mean. This is start of his rebuilding of this team. But Celtic at the moment don't have a head of football operations, you know, so there's no one there that's in charge of the recruitment. They've got Martin O'Neill in, and their transfer business at the moment seems to be bumbling and all over the place and all that kind of thing, because they're in a position where they don't want to bring anyone in permanently, I don't think, in terms of into the first team, because whoever they bring in head of the recruitment might not want that player in, you know what I mean? So they're in a bit of a, you know...
I mean, it's not like you'd phone up like a club that was connected to your biggest rivals and try and get a player on loan for them to be laughed away. I mean, serious club would do anything like that, Colin, So it's just...
that's what it feels like. Celtic are a bit... They're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because they don't have a permanent manager. They don't have a head of football operations. Yeah. They don't want to do any permanent deals, I don't think. I think that's the sort of point I'm trying to make. They don't want to do any permanent deals because they want the new guy to come in. They want their new coach, new manager to come in at the start of the season and do the rebuild then. So whereas we're rebuilding for this season and Danny Rowe starting his team, essentially, this is his first window. He'll add to that again in the summer, sorry. Celtic just seem to be in a bit of a no man's land. So I think that gives us the upper hand a little bit. Obviously, Hearts under is it Bloom. You know, he's got his finger in many pies. So they look to be doing relatively good business at the moment as well. So they could, but they're starting to get injuries. Obviously, Shanklin's out, Devlin's out, all that kind of stuff. But I just feel at the moment Rangers, it's almost by accident the way the season's panned out. You know, Russell Martin was such a disaster that we got short of him early. Celtic have just never got started all season, and now they find themselves with no sort of permanent team at all. You know, they don't have a permanent manager, they don't have a head of football or anything like that, and Hearts are just sort of keeping up with us all at the moment. But whether it does feel like it's by accident, but it kind of feels like it's landed in our favour at the moment, you know. And Rowe's got in, he's assessed his squad early, he's identified the players that he wants, we're getting business done early. I think there still might be one more coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, everything about it now, because the transformation in that team, the belief that you're seeing in players who were struggling previously, I genuinely think we would have a chance with the current squad. I do. Mm-hmm. I think we would have a chance of winning that league with the current squad. Adding to it just improves that, especially in the final third. You know, I saw Peter Grant the other day saying we had to strengthen at the back because of the amount of goals we're conceding.
Not anymore.
We've got the best defence in the country. What are you talking about? I think it's in that final third that we really need to, because we've managed to win games. As I said, the set pieces are working for us. There's one area I would like to see us improve, is scoring a few more goals just from open play, just creating stuff. Obviously, Olsen's part of that. I think maybe one more up there would help, you know, in terms of goals and stuff like that. But yeah, just really happy. And it's a bit of a surprise because, you know, sort of mid-October, I don't think any of us saw this coming.
Yeah, and I'll echo both of what you guys have said, but the other point that I was really impressed with, if you look at Scott Olsen, he's won two titles with Bruges and a cup in Belgium. You look at Chuck Wanny, he's just off a league title win with Sturm Graz. So, you know, we've brought in people who have gone the distance, and it's not like Russell Martin calling Joe Rothwell a winner when he's won the championship. You know, that doesn't really count in my view, because it isn't the top National League. It's still a tough league to win, but for me, that's the thing that I was most impressed with, because hopefully they can start to hold people accountable now to say, if we want to win this bloody thing, this is what we're going to need to do, and hopefully that rubs off on the players that we've currently got there. So I've been really impressed with how quickly we've done it, which then leads into, I guess, some of the points around Andrew Kavanagh. You know, ultimately, he kind of proceeded over a car crash at the start of his, Rangers career, Ross, I guess. But he's been quick to put his hands up to demonstrate that he's made mistakes, rectify them, and now he's kind of putting his cash, you know, behind the manager to say, we're going to do everything that we can to fix this now. So I guess it's positive signs that as an owner, he actually gets the club and gets what it takes to be successful, which should put us in good stead, not just over the next 6 months, but the next kind of 12, 24 and beyond while he's still at the helm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to make some wild assumptions here, but it, as an outsider, it seems to me that perhaps Kavanagh and the 49ers came in and had a bit of an arrogance about them, right? And went, we know what we're doing at Leeds. This is Scotland. It's not really the same. You know, this will be easy. You know, let's go and Russell Martin, he's a smart guy. He'll scoosh it up there because he did well at Southampton. We know what we're doing. We don't need to listen to anyone. And I think they got it catastrophically wrong. And I think they were probably shocked at how wrong they got it. I would like to believe that they are listening to people, right, who are trying to help them and trying to guide them. And there are enough people, either people who have been associated with Rangers or people who haven't, but have just been kind of around the place. There are enough people around that aren't interested in, you know, the accusations of blazer chasing or wanting some glory or something like that. There's enough people that just want to see Rangers succeed that are happy to just give some guidance and give some counsel. And I think that's made a massive difference, you know. So getting rid of Thelwell and Stewart was clearly instrumental in that as well. I'm really, really pleased at how quickly they acted. You know, they recognised mistakes. They binned off Martin, followed that up with the two executives or the two directors. And yeah, again, the buyout clause on Scott Olsen is a really clear indicator of this guy's intention. It's not been perfect, and I don't think it will continue to be perfect. I think they will do things that will probably frustrate fans and upset fans. I think that we'll see a kind of a different commercial slant to things, whether that's selling naming rights or things just becoming a bit more global commercial, which risks maybe damaging some of the fabric of the fan base or the fabric of the history of the club. I don't know. But where we are today, I think the guy deserves a lot of credit, if for nothing else, and just recognising the mistake and fixing it.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that, Ross. And I guess I'm always conscious that Frankie shouts at me if we go over the hour. So I'll just maybe finish up with one last question to both of you. What can we expect for the second half of the season? You know, I'm a bit like you, Colin, at the moment. I'm feeling extremely positive, but then again, this is Rangers, and sometimes that can come back to bite us, unfortunately. Yeah. But it does seem like, you know, we've somehow managed to claw ourselves back into a title race after the disaster that we had at the start of the season. We seem to have a capable manager. We seem to be recruiting the right type of players. There is nothing stopping us now from really getting behind the team here and believing that we can win this title, is there?
No, I mean, I do believe we can win it. And I'm not just saying this. Mm-hmm. I felt that night at Easter Road, I felt we had an outside chance. I thought if we continue to play like that and control games where we controlled it that night, we have a chance. But there have been a couple of bumps on the road. So obviously Ross mentioned earlier on, you know, the draw against Falkirk at Ibrox, the draw against Dundee United at Tannadice, 4 points dropped that shouldn't have been dropped. The games that give me real confidence that we can now go on and build on this is, you know, the game at Tynecastle. So we go the goal down, and you just want to get to half time. It's like 5 minutes to go till half time. You just want to get to half time, and we can see the stupid second like a minute or two later, and then that's it. The game's gone. Then that changes at Celtic Park. We go the goal down, we see it out to half time, and we come back out in the second half. We get the equaliser, and then you just see the belief going through the team and they go on and they get the win. So the team, it feels like incrementally this team is starting to believe when they've had a setback, they've not let it derail them. I think that's what happened under Clement. You know, when Clement got us top of the league a couple of years back, I think we lost at Motherwell. We lost to Motherwell at Ibrox. And then from then on in, he just seemed to, he always had a sort of, I always felt he sounded really good in interviews and pressers until after that. You know, and then there was a whole, I don't know if you remember, the whole Dundee fiasco with the pitch and all that kind of thing. And he just started coming out with real random stuff. And you're like, this guy's had one bump in the road. And all of a sudden, he seems to be, you know, losing the place a little bit. I don't get that same feeling for Danny Rowe, to be honest with you. I think he's got that group in after the defeat at Tynecastle. Told them they're still in it. They just need to learn how to be a wee bit more robust and get, because you're going to suffer in games, especially against the teams in and around you. You're never going to go out against these teams and dominate the game for 90 minutes. There's going to be periods when you just have to tough it out. We've done that at Celtic Park and got back in the game and won it. So as I said, I think incrementally this team is developing, it's learning. They've got a manager who knows how to manage games, how to get through games. Obviously, he's recognised the lack of sort of, you know, cutting edge in that final third, and we're getting goals through the set piece scenario. He's tightened us up at the back, and now he's building on it. So yeah, as I've said a few times, I am really, really hopeful and really confident that, you know, we've got a title. Like my son, he's in Australia at the moment, and he sort of left at the start of the season. So my mate's using his season ticket at the moment, and the day he was leaving, I was like, I think you're picking the wrong season to go. I think we're winning the league this year, right? And he's like, oh, well, it is what it is. And then about October time, I'm messaging him going, I think you've picked it right, you're fine. You know what I mean? There's just no danger this league title's happening. And then after the Celtic game, I was like, he's due back in June. But I was like, you might be getting an earlier flight back and come back in May for these celebrations. So, yeah, I genuinely think it's a real possibility. I genuinely think out of Danny Rowe, Derek McInnes and Martin O'Neill, I think we have the best manager of the three. I think at the moment our business looks like the best. I think Danny Rowe, to me, looks like a manager who knows how to navigate games and get points. So yeah, really confident. And, you know, now we've got, especially Olsen, you know, someone that's going to give us that extra sort of dimension in the final third. I'm nothing but excited about what's coming in the second half of the season.
Ross, final word to you, mate.
Yeah, I echo it. I think Bookies still put Hearts and Celtic a wee bit ahead of us. I think Hearts will, I don't know, you talk to Hearts fans at the moment, they're saying they're loving it, they're all excited, we're winning the league. I think they will be riddled with anxiety, and that anxiety and that fear will grow game by game, week by week. And if that's how the fans feel, imagine how the players feel. I think it takes a lot to win a title, and must be a hell of a long time since Hart's done it. So I don't see them having longevity. I don't see them having the resilience to do it. You look at their form over the last 12 weeks, it's not title winning form. And Celtic, they don't look any good. They just don't look any good. Obviously, you know, I think it's a massive 2 weeks for them now. Who do they bring in? Looks like, again, late the summer, I think they're struggling. I think they're really, really struggling to attract players. So I make us favourites. I don't make us clear favourites. I think it's really touch and go, but I we've got the momentum. I agree with Colin. I think we've got the best manager. I think that you look at our team, we've got a hell of a unity and a togetherness. You've seen that in the celebrations, going back to Parkhead and then the games against Aberdeen. The players are playing for each other at the minute. There's a really good feeling around the place. So I'm nervous. You know, again, as Colin said, a couple of years ago, we thought we were winning the league. We got back to first, and we went to Dingwall and we lost it, and we had a really, really tough time after that. So we've been here before. We're not even, you know, we're still actually third in the league on goal difference, aren't we? So
yeah,
it's going to be a really, really tense few months, but I think we've just got the edge.
Yeah, and it's nice when we can have shows like this and be positive about things, which makes a change for most of this season. So it's a great way to finish the show.
It makes a change to the 5 years I've been doing this, put it that way.
I always blame Doogie for getting this podcast malarkey, and ever since I started it, it's like always been defeating, whatever. It's a nightmare, but at least the tides are turning, hopefully. But thank you to you both for coming on, Colin. Appreciate that. It was a really good chat. Thank you, mate.
Cheers. Thank you.
Ross, great to see you again. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for having me.
So as well as being live on YouTube tonight, folks, the show will be available on all podcasting platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, etc., as well in the coming days. Brian and Alex are going to be back with you on Friday night to review the Ludogorets game, but also then previewing the game against Dundee at Ibrox at the weekend. All that's left for me to say is a massive thank you to all those that are watching live on YouTube and to anybody else that's watching back. See you later.